walking pretty good this morning. I couldn't even walk. Getting around, yeah. I've been taking care of myself today, though I haven't done anything I wasn't supposed to do. Yeah, that's an improvement right there. That's really an improvement. I haven't been out digging ditches. Neen, day, pros, si, Eterkamai, kai, tauta, lalo, anto, cosmo, hina, ekosid, tain, karin, tain, emain, peplerominain, and altois. All right. Here we have the Lord's real prayer. This is his genuine Lord's prayer. This is his intercessory. This is his high priest prayer for all of us. This is what he said. But now to you I come. And Jesus is praying, isn't he? He's communicating. Have you ever communicated with yourself? Have you? Yeah. Yeah, you pray, you meditate, you do these things. Here is the Son talking to the Father. The Son is a material element of the Godhead, isn't he? And we have the Father, which is what? This is what we call the soul or the mind of God. Okay? Now, do you have a soul? That's what you think. That's how you think, isn't it? All right, do you have a spirit? That spirit is what gives you life. And that spirit is also, if you're born again, that's what guides you to the right direction. It's guiding you to the right direction. And your body. We know we got to drag this body around. That's a pain in the neck sometimes, or in the ankle, or the neck, or the back, or whatever, you know. But now to you I come. Look at that word, Eterkamai. First person singular present, indicative, active. All right. Eterkamai, I come, and these things. What is this, these things here? What is this type of thing? Brother Dick, what do you think that tauta is there? You have any idea? That's a demonstrative pronoun. Can you say that? Demonstrative pronoun. These things. Now, the word things right there, these is what it literally says. But we have a practical substantive there. Now it's getting in the grammar. See, that's the word things right there. These things. Things is the practical substantive. We know it's there. These, I speak. These what? These things. So you have to put that practical substantive. It stands in there by simple understanding. Lalo. Lalo, I speak. Now, lalo, what kind of a word in Greek is that lalo? It's different, isn't it? We have, it's not lego, it's not ereo, it is not, and it's lalo. Brother Dick, what about that one? Lalo. You remember that one? Corey? Sonia, have you got that one yet? Pamela? Lalo.
Human speech. It's human speech.
To speak in human element of speech. Lalo means to speak as a human with your human function. Now, how we have God the Son speaking in his body. All right? That's what it means here. Jesus was real. What did the Gnostics say about him? What did the Gnostics say about Jesus?
That he did not,
his physical being did not exist. It was only an imagination. It was only a kind of an image, but he was not real. Well, here, John is using the words. Now, John is fighting Gnosticism in all the way through here. He's using the word. He speaks with human language because he's got a tongue. He's got teeth. He's got a palate. He's got a throat. He's got a voice box. Okay? That's what that term means right there. Now, if I ask you tomorrow, the next week, do you know what lalo is going to mean? Lalo? How about Lego? Corey, you know what Lego means, don't you?
Pick out.
Huh? To pick out. It means to pick out words and put them up in a row. What is the Hebrew equivalent to that, Sharon, of Lego?
I was saying
Dvar. That means the same exact thing. Dvar and Lego mean the same thing. I speak in the world, all right? I speak these things in the world. What world are we talking about here? Jesus one time gave a parable, didn't he? He said there was a rich ruler, a rich, powerful, evil ruler. And he said, if you're going to go in there and overtake his territory, what do you got to do? You got to go right down there in his territory, and you got to do what to him?
Bind him.
Okay? So that's exactly what Jesus did. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, God shall redeem all things back to himself. But he's going to use the human race to do it, isn't he? How's he going to use the human race? How's God going to use the human race to redeem the world back to himself? Corey, how's he going to do that? Sonia, you got that one down? Brother Mike, you got that one yet?
He's going to redeem it in Christ's relationship with us, being physical, and we're physical. And there's going to be a family relationship because
that's
of
right.
Christ.
Because we're related to him. And because the universe is related to him, because he's our what, Brother Roger?
Goel.
He's our kinsman redeemer. All right, that's it. The seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman is going to redeem the world back, and he's going to use his human body to do it because he's going to be related to the dirt, to all the physical units. Verse. Now, God created man as he created the dust of the ground, not from it. The dust of the ground had a problem. What was wrong with the dust of the ground?
Tainted.
It was tainted. It was infected. It was tainted with sin. It was cursed. The earth was cursed, Genesis 1 and 2. The whole earth was destroyed at one time by Satan. And then God begins his job of what, Brother Roger? We studied that in the second chapter. Reconstruction of the earth. He put it back together. He put it back together. All right, so he reconstructed the earth. And then when he got the earth reconstructed, what did he do? He put our relative on it, which is Adam. He put him in the throne room, which was the... What does Eden mean? Do you remember?
We haven't gotten that far,
have we? What is Eden, though? There were two Edens, weren't they? All right, the Eden that Lucifer was in and the Eden that Adam was in. He put him in that Eden, which was the throne room. Okay? And God began to teach Adam all things. But Eve got in a hurry. And she wanted that tree of knowledge of good and evil. God was going to give them the knowledge anyway, but they got in a hurry. And not only did they eat a little bit of the tree, they did what?
Gobbled it up.
They ate the tree. Gobbled it up. The whole thing. In perfect tense. I speak in world, this world that we live in today, this age that we live in, this world that we live in and this age that we live in is tainted and it is controlled by Lucifer. You like that? Really, and he's really involved in everything, any church services, everything. We're talking about that tonight. How many churches? Jesus Christ founded and called out one church, didn't he? How many churches did the devil call? Oh, he's an imitator, isn't he? God promised that mankind would have a seed of the woman that's going to redeem him back. But how many times does Satan and his angels do that? And one last time he's going to duplicate it again when he brings forth the false Messiah. He's going to be literally from a woman and from Satan. He's going to have a child walking on the earth, a Nephilim, so to speak. I speak in this world system in order that they may have the joy, the amay. Look at that word, tain amain there, Roger. Tain amain and tain karan. What do you see in that? We see that's one of those eight cases, isn't it? What is it? No. This is the sign of the direct object.
Yeah.
All right? It's accusative case. It's an accusative case. Tain and tain, two times. Right there you can see that's an accusative singular. Okay? The joy and the my, having been fulfilled in themselves, having been filled up. Look at that word. Perfect participle, passive. Accusative singular feminine. See that up there? The joy and the my, that's all in accusative singular feminine. In themselves. Look at that word, in themselves. Now, what case do you think that's one in? What case is that? In. In. That's location, isn't it? So what is that? Locative. Thank you. Locative. In themselves, and that's plural. That's a locative plural masculine third person pronoun there. That one is. I don't want to wear you plumb out with this grammar, but I'm giving you a little of it. By the way, I bought my grammar book tonight for you to look at if you'd like to, Chance, afterwards, and Dick, all of you. Davis's Greek grammar. Ego. We have an English word that comes right out of that. What is it?
Ego.
Ego. All right. Didokan. Altois. Tone logon. Su. Kai. Ho. Cosmos. Amisason. Altos. Hote. Uk. Asen. Ek. Tu. Cosmu. Kathos. Ego. Uk. Amy. Ek. Tu. Cosmu. I have given. Now we have that first one. That's nominative singular, first person pronoun. See how that one's conjugated or declined there? Not conjugated, but declined. And then we have one right after that that's conjugated. I have given. First person singular, perfect, indicative, acting, and it comes from didymi. I have given to them tone logo. What's this word? Huh? Tone logo. Many times when John uses the word logos, what does it mean? It's not a Hebraism here, is it? What is it here? That's a little Greek idea of the word. It means word. That's what it means. It's the word. What word? The words of life. Okay? To them the word of you and the world. Now look at here, Kai. And then we got whole cosmos there, Brother Dick. What whole cosmos? Tell me what case that one's in. You remember what that one's in? What about whole? Whole tells you right there in the beginning of it. Roger?
Nominative. Masculine.
Singular, masculine. Whole cosmos. See that omicron sigma on the end of that? That tells you it's in the nominative singular masculine case. Okay? And the world. Now, what did the world do? He hated, literally. If you want to say it correctly, he hated. Because the world is what? Masculine gender. And who's the world stand for? Who's this world stand for? Satan's empire. Satan's kingdom. All right, Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom, it hated them. Accusative plural, third person pronoun. Look at that. Because not they are out of, they are not generated out of the world. The word hagios. That didn't work. Let's see if this will work. That word right there, hagios. Tell me about that word hagios. Corey, you remember that word? It comes from two Greek words. Got something on the front of it. It means what? Not. Okay. And there's the other root. What's that mean? Eretz. Earth. Not of earth. Saints are not born of earth. They're born from above. That's what John said in John the third chapter. Actually, John quoted Jesus telling Nicodemus, he said, you must be born from above, not from below. I already know you're here. You have an earthly mother and father, and so you're of earth. But that's going to get you to hell. You must be born from above. Born from above. Those that are outrunning the world today in all of these different things and all these different religions we got out here that's contrary to the religion of the Lord, they're of this world. They're of their emissary, the god of this age, and that means little god of this age, the powers to be of this age. But you know what? This age is going to be gone one of these days. You look at all the ages down through there and the age that we live in. We have God's kingdom working within the kingdom of Satan, don't we? Let me say that again. We have God's kingdom working within the kingdom of Satan, going to tie him up. And we're going to We're going to watch him thrown in the lake of fire one of these days, bound up. We're going to watch him thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, Revelation 27-9. Then he's going to be turned out again on the earth in the end of this millennial reign, and he's going to go out and do what? Going to gather his forces. And he was not on the earth for 1,000 years, neither any of his imps. And evil spirits, demons, were not out here, but yet mankind during this time will only serve the Lord because he has to. God's going to rule it with a rod of iron. You know, Augustine called it the city of God. You study Augustine. You know who Augustine was? They call him Augustine now, but Augustine is his name. He was a writer, a Catholic writer, and he talked about the city of God. And God, by the way, did the Catholic Church try to bring in a what we call an ecclesiastical kingdom? For over 1,000 years, they had one, and it's corruption in that, wasn't it? It's corruption from the word go. You know, we're not going to legislate righteousness, but they tried to. Did John Calvin try to legislate righteousness? And Luther? The church and the state were one. Did it work? Never has. Never has worked. You know, unrighteous people, but churches. Churches are the administrators of God's kingdom in the world today, working within the kingdom of the evil one. That's what it's talking about. The world, it hated them. Genesis 3:15, what does it say? The seed of the woman and the seed of Satan are going to have violent warfare. That's what it's talking about here. Because not out of it, out of the world, just as I am out of this age, this world system. Jesus came and took upon himself a body and the form of a servant, didn't he? The form of a servant. Now, this is his high priestly prayer that he's praying for us. 17:15, uk erota, hina, eres, autus, ek tu cosmu, all hina te reses, autos, ek tu porneru. Not I request in order that you should take them out of the world. Because they have a job to do in the world, don't they? That's our job. We're going to face what Jesus faced in his days, aren't we? We're going to face what Jesus faced. We have a job to do. We have a job to witness to people, and hopefully we will lead some of them to the Lord. Hopefully we will. I hope you don't have to take them out of the world, but in order to that, look at that word, tereses. Tereses. It comes from terio. That's in Matthew 28:18-20 also. Matthew 28:18-20. The commission is what in Matthew 28:18-20? What is a commission? What is a command there? What is the imperative? Make disciples. Not go ye therefore, because the church is going to be scattered. It's going to be scattered. And then you, after you've gone, after you've been scattered, what do? You make disciples. What do you do with those disciples? You dip them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what else do you do with them? Do you teach them to guard with their lives? That's this word right here, terio. To guard with their lives. That you should guard them out of the one evil. Away from the one. Keep them away from that evil one. Look at that word, ponero. Pornography comes from this word. And this word means to twist something. To twist something natural and turn it into something crooked and twisted. To change it. Change a natural affection. Some women are prostitutes. A man and a woman have an attraction to each other. But some women use that attraction for gain. That's twisted. Same thing with men. They can do the same thing. Women and men both do this. You go back and study the Bible. One of the things in the book of Revelation, it talks about the dogs in the book of Revelation. You know who the dogs are? Who are the dogs? They're not canines. Who are they? Male homosexual prostitutes. That's who they are. Same thing in Romans, the first chapter. And in several books of the Bible, it talks about the same thing. Twisted. Twisted. Messed up. Twisted. They should keep them out from the one evil. 16. Ek tu kosmu. Uk essen kathos ego uk amy ek tu kosmu. He's using the word kosmu a lot, isn't he? That's the word world system. That's the old devil's universe. Out of the world, not they are. They're not birthed out of the world. They're birthed from above, not of earth, okay? Just as I, not I, am out of the world. Jesus, I want you to literally see this. There's a nurse back there, so you know what I'm talking about now. I think you're getting some of it. Adam was created as the dust of the ground, but without it being tainted. He was created from the same material as the dust of the ground, but it wasn't tainted. It was not infected by the curse. So God made Adam, and he was a body. He was God's shadow-casting likeness and his blood-flowing likeness. What did he breathe into Adam? The breathings of lives. And he breathed the blood into Adam, and that was God's blood that he breathed into him. And in the second part of there in Genesis 1:26, it says he made him his shadow-casting likeness, and he made him in his blood-flowing likeness. That's physical likeness. In his spiritual likeness and his physical likeness. And then what did he do? He made him in his sovereign righteousness. Triune. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the best place to teach the Trinity in the Bible. The best place to teach the Trinity. Genesis 1:26. If you know enough Hebrew to do it. Now, Adam's sin, Adam's dust in him was not contaminated, was it? And then when God put a great hypnotic trance upon him, have you studied anything about people being put hypnotized and being operated on? Have you? They do that. That's one of the forms of anesthesia they do in different places. They hypnotize them. And that's what the word there in the Greek Septuagint, it says, God hypnotized Adam. He put him in a deep hypnotic trance. And he took from his sides, plural. He took pieces from his sides all around him. And he took bones from him. And he took fleshes from him. And he took bloods from him. And he made a woman. All right. And woman means what? Ish means man, and Isha means out of man. So he made woman. Now woman was taken out of man before what? Before he was infected with sin. So the woman is not infected. Okay? But she's made from the same kind of dirt elements that Adam was. Now, when the woman was tricked, the woman was deceived, and she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm trying to get this across to you. And then she gave to her husband, and he knows that the devil was there. He knows that she's been tricked. But what does he do? He willingly sins. So therefore, his blood contaminates the human race. Now, the woman is not contaminated. And so Mary, now if you were listening to that little thing there at the beginning of the class, that was the Muslims' idea of who Mary was. They believe in Mary, and they may believe in Jesus, but it's sure not Mary and Jesus of the Bible, I can guarantee you that much. It's not even related to them. Mary, the Catholic Church has this, what we call, that she was sinlessly conceived, that's what they say, because they were affected with that back then. Mariolatry had already started in them by the 4th century, see. And that started in the 6th century. So they'd already been exposed to this heresy. And so they picked that heresy up. Mary was not sinless. Did you know that? She needed to be saved just like all the rest of the disciples. She was not perfect. She was a woman. Just a woman. But she did not carry the infection of sin in her. So God put his seed in Mary. And Mary brought forth this child. And this child was God the Son. This is Jehovah. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. All right. Where is that fulfilled, Brother Roger? In the New Testament. Where did Jehovah become flesh? Sharon? 1:14. John 1:14. Can you quote that, Brother Dick, in Greek? Oh, okay. Sharon. Kai hologo sarx agenito. Kai ho. Nominative singular masculine, definite article, logos. Nominative singular masculine again. And the word, the Jehovah flesh he became. Middle voice for himself, yes.
Did I hear you right? You said that Adam sinned because he willfully did something he knew he wouldn't.
He did. He absolutely, he was ahead of the human race, and he absolutely went contrary to it. He was the one supposed to be guarding. He was supposed to be guarding his wife from the snake, which now was inhabited by Lucifer and his demons.
So Eve, what I understand what you said, wasn't the one that sinned.
She was deceived.
Deceived.
Yes. She wasn't the head of the human race anyway. It was man that was the head of the human race. Okay? And Paul says that again. The woman was deceived. The woman was deceived. The man sinned. The man which is the head of the human race, he just wandered right in there, and he ate it. And he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. And then who was going on the one out there and started picking up the fig leaves? You think that was? Started sewing them together and making aprons out of them, as it says in Hebrew. Adam said, well, these are big leaves. Let's just cover ourselves up with these big leaves now that we're naked. What were they covered with before? The righteousness and glory of God. They were clothed before, but they were clothed with righteousness and glory of God. Now they're naked. They're arum, as it says in Hebrew. They are naked. They are wicked. They are deceitful. They became all of those things.
So you differentiate between his sin and her what?
Okay. Her sin was by deception. His sin was by what we call militant arrogance. He just said, well, so what? He wasn't deceived. Adam was not deceived. Do you think that God had been teaching him? Do you think that he didn't know that he was going to learn all of these things that he could learn? Adam was well educated by Jehovah himself, wasn't he? All right. And he knew that he was supposed to guard the earth. Where was Adam created? Where was he created? Where was he created? Was he created in the garden? No, he was created someplace outside the garden. And God placed him in the Garden of Eden, okay? That's paradise. God had built that garden, put him in there, and he told him to what? Guard it, guard it, guard it. You have to guard it because the world has sin in it. This cosmos has sin in it. And you're going to guard it from that sin. And what did he do? Walked off and was watching football on the television. When Eve was being approached by the devil. He was doing something else what he wasn't supposed to be doing. He sure wasn't doing his job, was he? And then when he went back, he was not deceived. He willingly partook. And that through him, then we are victims of his sin. We are infected with that sin. That's what causes all to die. The Muslim world says that man is not responsible for the sin of Adam or anybody else's sin. Why didn't they live forever? If they're not responsible for Adam's sin, why don't they just live forever? Sin is what causes you to die. What is every germ and virus? You know about germs and viruses, don't you? They're all mutated forms of fallen life. Every virus, every bad bacteria is a mutated form of fallen life. Is there good bacteria? Where do you find good bacteria?
In your gut.
Huh? In your gut. That's what helps you digest your food. Where else can you find it outside your gut?
The soil.
What?
Soil.
Well, sometimes they've got good bacteria in the bottom of the ocean. Did you know that? They're finding it, getting it up, harvesting it. In yogurt, there's good bacteria. All kinds, even enzymes in pineapple, different things like that. We have this good bacteria and these good enzymes that build life. And then we have the fallen, mutated forms of sinful bacteria and sinful viral life forms. That we ought to know that the old devil, that the sinful nature is also backed up by that which destroys our bodies. Not I request, number 16, that is. Out of the world, not they are, just as I not am out of the world. Look at that world system there. I'm not out of this system. I came out of heaven. Isn't that what he said? John, the first chapter, he was the God that came down out of heaven. The only one that came down out of heaven, huh? 17:17. Hagiason. Autos. Ente aletheia. Ho logos. Ho sos. Aletheia esten. Boy, there's some beautiful words in this, isn't there? You set apart. You make holy them. There's the word for saint right there. Hagiazo. You make them holy. You make them separate. You make them not of this earth. How does God make us not of the earth? How does he do that? You know how he does that? You said that earlier in the class there, young lady. Adriana, yes, you did.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit convicts us and reforms our minds and our way of thinking, doesn't he? When you were lost, you had a total different outlook on life, I think. I did. And then when you're saved, you still have that desire to go the wrong direction because of the body and that old sinful mind. But what does it do? How are we supposed to conform to the Word, to the Lord? How do we do that? By dwelling in His Word, by the washing of the Word. That's what washes and cleans your mind up and keeps you going in the right direction. And it's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working with the Word of God. All right? You sanctify them, second person singular, first aorist, imperative active. And this is a command from the Son to the Father. You see that? That's a command. That's imperative mode. You sanctify them. Look at that word autos there. Now that's also declined, isn't it? That is accusative plural, third person pronoun. And then we have this little word preposition, page 137 down there. That's in, that we get our English word in out of. Now, Brother Dick, what do you think the following definite article, what case you think that's in? Entoletheia. What is that? Chance, you got an idea about that one? How about that, Corey? In. Locative case. Locative, singular, feminine, by the way. In the truth. And then we have whole logos there. Now, what case is that? Or what case is that in, Brother Roger? Nominative, singular, masculine. That definite article tells you that. And then in the word, the of your truth, it is. The word of truth. What is the word of truth? We got it tonight, don't we? The word of God. You know how valuable the word of God is? You know how the old devil tried to get rid of that? How did he try to get rid of this Bible?
He convinced a bunch of Catholics to burn it.
That's right. They burned it. You know how many Bibles there were at one time? All handwritten Bibles in the world? There were hundreds of thousands of them. And the Catholic Church demanded that people turn their Bibles in. This was in Greek, by the way. They were in Greek and Hebrew Old Testament. And they got all those Bibles and they would build bonfires. And the people that had those Bibles, they would pile wood up around them, tie them to a stake out there, and take the Bible and start the fires to burn the people up. And they burned so many of them. It is said in history that when the King James Bible was printed, that the Baptists so stood against it in England and said it was a total perversion of God's Word. It was twisted. They said, you put your doctrine through that. You know, like that. And of course, they were still preaching from Greek and Hebrew. You know, these old timers, you know. And they burned so many of them that they didn't have enough fire. They burned much steak. They burned so many Baptists that they didn't have wood to heat their houses and to cook their food. because they just had to burn these Baptists. So they had to use up all the firewood to burn Baptists. Either making wars or burning Baptists in all in the history. The word of truth. All right, 17 now. Kathos. Me epistoles. Ace ton cosmon. Cago epistola. Autus. Ace ton cosmon. Just as me, you have sent with authority. Look at that word. That's the word apostle, isn't it? Now the word, when Jesus, when he ordained the apostles, and apostles, the gift of apostles was what? Come on, girls and boys. What is the gift of apostles? What was it? The first gift placed in the church. So the church was there when he did it. Had to be, didn't it? The church was there. Not, this is all before the day of Pentecost, by the way. They just got a little hermeneutics wrong there. People start the church on the day of Pentecost. It's already in existence. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, not started. The church was already in existence. The church had a treasure in it, didn't it? The church had apostles in it. The church was sent on a limited commission. Remember when the 70 were sent out? That was a commission. The church was commissioned. Okay? Just as you sent out with authority. Now, Jesus gave the apostles authority, didn't he? Could they pass on that authority? Yeah. He was so powerful that he gave apostles authority that they could pass on the authority. And most of the apostles are the ones that wrote the Bible that we have today. You have sent me with authority. Second person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. Ace, tone, cosmon. Tell me what case that's in. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, or accusative, or vocative. No. Ace. Look at that ace down there. Ace is a sign of what? And what is the direct object in Greek? That's the accusative case. All right. What's that direct? What's the sign of direct object in Hebrew? Et. All right. Good. You're getting it. Unto the cosmo, unto the world. And then it has a little this little next word, cago. What do you think that might come out of, then? Or just look at it. Cago. What's it come from? What's the two roots? It's what we call a complicated word. It's a compound word. It comes from chi, which is and ego, which is I. And I. Look at that. Cago. And I. I send. Look at that. I send with authority. Them. Into the world. Look at that. We're still on that trip, aren't we? Today. We're still on that trip. We have a job to do in the world. Not to live for ourselves, but to what? To live for the Lord. Paul the Apostle, I was reading the book of Philippians today. If I die, I die and it's gain. If I die, it's gain. But it's necessary for me to stay in the world for you. It's a lot better when a child of God, you know, especially when you get old and crippled up and everything else, you look start looking for the hereafter. I was raised in very humble, poor circumstances, extreme poverty, like people don't understand at all. We had an outhouse, but it did have three holes in it later on, after I fell down the thing. My grandpa put a little one, bitty hole in there for me. We didn't have any running water. We didn't have any electricity. We lived in a shack with a dirt floor. That's it. Boards that they picked off all the canal bank and hammered them together. And two befores that were little short pieces nailed together, crippled together, and like that with a tin roof that had a lot of holes in it that people had thrown away. We got all this castaway stuff. They went out to the dump. We took a little bit of stuff to the dump and brought home a lot of stuff all the time back then. We lived in poor circumstances. I went out to the cotton fields and to the potato fields. And I loved to go out to the cotton fields. My grandma would put me on her cotton sack, and I had my little sack. I was picking cotton, too, and putting in the sack. And it was miserable out there in Bakersfield when it was 128 degrees, I'm telling you. It was hot back then. A lot hotter and a lot drier than it is today. And my grandmother could sing like a bird. Her father was really musically inclined. He taught all the kids how to play instruments and sing, even though they were poor in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. My grandmother would get out there and she'd start singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, or When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder or something. I mean to tell you what, the cotton fields were just like a choir. They'd all start singing like that, especially the black people. Boy, I mean to tell you what, they'd start singing with her, and I mean to tell you what, we were in church right there. They were singing themselves out of that 130-degree, 129-degree, right up into glory. Talking about the streets of gold. Miserable life. But they sung themselves into glory. Kai Heper Aton, 19. Ego Hagizo Imaton Hina Osen Kai Atoi Hagiasimanoi in Aletheia. And on behalf of them, I have sanctified myself. Could Jesus have gone and done like all other human beings? Was he capable of it? But he was God, wasn't he? Boy, that's really hard to understand. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of how God became flesh and didn't do what Adam did in the garden. Adam was placed in a garden, in a paradise, absolute paradise, where all he had to do was just reach and get what he wanted. And when Jesus, when he would turn 30 years old and began his public ministry, when he began to start doing miracles, you know, he didn't do miracles when he was a baby. The Muslim world said, oh, when he was a baby, he made little objects and stuff and turned them into live objects and then turned them back and spoke from his crib and told him, my mama really wasn't an immoral woman. I'm God's son, you know. I'm a prophet. You know, that's not what he said. He began his ministry when he was 30 years old. He began it when he was 30 years old. And the first time in Matthew, the 4th chapter, what happened to Jesus when he began his ministry? What's the first thing happened? Where was he taken? Where did he go? Brother Dick, you know? Where did he go?
After his baptism to the desert.
He went out in the desert. Didn't have anything to eat for 40 days. Okay? Out there with the wild animals. And he was communing with them. Out in the desert. And who was tempting him out there? Satan. Satan tempted him in every way that could be tempted, just like he tempted Adam in the garden, but without success. Boy, if Jesus had sinned, you know what kind of a mess we'd be in today? We'd be just going right along with the rest of the world. There's nobody would go to hell, that could go to heaven at all. Everybody would be bound for hell if the Lord's Son had not done what he did. I have sanctified myself in order that they may be also, having been sanctified and remain sanctified in the truth. You want to know how do you get sanctified? You study the Word of God. That's how it does. It sanctifies you. You can't study the Word of God without it affecting you, can you? Does it affect you? It affects you. 1720. Ooh, Perry. Two-tone. Day, eroto, monon, ola, kai, peri, ton, pistionton, dia, tu, logu, auton, ace, ame. Now we have an adverb of negation just to start the things off. He said, not concerning these, but I request only, but also concerning the ones believing through the word of them in me. Who's that talking about? You. It's talking about you. Jesus now, in this high priestly prayer, he's prays for Adriana. He's praying for you. Praying for Chance. Praying for Pamela. Praying for this old guy. He prayed for us right here. He said, on behalf of them, I sanctify and I set myself apart in order that they may be also having been sanctified in truth. Not concerning these, but I request only, but also concerning the ones believing through the word of them in me. That's us. So we're in this verse, aren't we? Amen? Amen. That's you, isn't it? You believe? Mm-hmm. Dakota, you hear that? The Lord prayed for you. Hina, Pontes, Hen, Usen, Kathos, Si, Pater, En Imoi, Kago, En Soi, Hina, Kai, Autoi, En Himin, Usen, Hina, Ho, Cosmos, Pustue, Hote, Si, Me, Apistolos. In order that all, each one, they may be just as you, Father, in me, and I in you. How does God get us into his family? How does he do this? How many fathers do we have? In this room, we only have one father, people. Do you know that? My father got killed robbing a liquor store in 1949. He was kind of an outlaw, I'd say. But I'm not related to him, really. I'm related to that one up there. We all have one father. We all have one father. That's it. In order that all the one may be just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, in order that also they in us, they may be, in order that the world, it may believe, because you, me, you have sent. God lives in each and every one of us. Our down payment, irrevocable down payment, I might say, it's what we call a earnest money. Earnest money. What is earnest money? You know what earnest money is? Brother Randall, you know what earnest money is? Got an idea?
Money that you put up already to take care of business?
Earnest money. That's a down payment. That's a down payment you put up, and guess what? It's not refundable. That earnest money is not refundable. Did you know that? It's not refundable. The Holy Spirit is our earnest money that God is going to redeem us. And guess what? It's not refundable. Once God puts that Spirit in you, you're earmarked for the resurrection. You're earmarked for the family of God, period. You're God's son. You're God's child. You're part of the family of God. Smile. Isn't that good? Part of the family of God, and it's irrevocable. It's irrevocable. Isn't that beautiful? Irrevocable. Now, if God would lose his Holy Spirit, if he lost one person that was sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, what would that do? What would it do? It'd nullify who God is. Because it's earnest money. It's you can't get it back, non-refundable. Isn't that beautiful? That's Ephesians, the first chapter. Non-refundable. Non-refundable down payment. All right. 1722. Kago, tein doxon. Hein, diadokos, moi, diadokos, autos, hina, usen, en, kathos, hemes, hen. And I, the glory which you have given to me, I have given to them, in order that they may be just as we are. Look at that word usen there. That's third person plural, present subjunctive active. What does that tell you there, that present subjunctive active there? Brother Corey, what's that subjunctive mode mean? Huh? Okay, the mode of doubtful affirmation. What does that depend on? The human volition. That's what we call in Hebrew a volitative mode, which is what? The jussive and the cohortive. Same way. You know, it's in the Old and New Testament. There is a will. Man does have a will. You do set your destiny with your volition. That's the most dangerous gift, sovereign gift that God gave you, was your volition to make a choice. All right? Yes?
Can you define the glory? What was that?
Accusative thing, the glory? Yeah. And I, the glory which I have given to you, I have given to them. Okay, when is this glory going to set upon this church? This is what we call future perfect. Remember that in Hebrew? Well, consecutive perfect, all right? I have given to them. When did the glory, the Shekinah glory, come upon the church? To remain with it. On the day of Pentecost, the church was there, the Shekinah glory came upon them, and this is what we call a future perfect. This glory he's going to give to them. They hadn't seen the full glory of God. He did go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw him in all his glory, and it wiped them out, didn't it? The ones that went. Who? Peter. Let me make a tent for everybody. he didn't know what he's doing. I have given to them in order that they may be just as we one. I'm teaching evolution versus creation on Sunday afternoon at 4:30 in the same room. There was a particular period of time when God created the universe, wasn't it? Before God created the universe, what was it? Eternities in the past. In John 1 and 1 is the oldest verse in the Bible. That's when God only existed. And then in a punctiliar, knife blade punctiliar stroke of time, God created. It says, Bavashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim v'et ha'aretz. In eternity, in one of the eternities past, in one of the beginnings in the past, God created, had created, is what it literally, he had created the heavens and the earth. He created it. He's going to buy it back too, by the merits of Jesus Christ. He created it. Created it. Just as we are one. That is what they call the Big Bang Theory right now. And there's nothing wrong with that Big Bang Theory in all reality, because that's when God exploded the universe from himself. It wasn't created ex nihilo, but it was created from where? From God himself. And what does a scientist tell us about how he did it now? It was expanding universe, wasn't it? Going apart. At so many thousands of miles per hour. And per second. And they say now, what's going to happen to it? It's going to implode again back to where it was one time. That's what he's talking about right here. I don't understand all I know about that. But that's what it says. And it just gives you a little hint every now and then. Just opens a little window and say, look. Look through this window. Everything's going to be one and in one of these days. One big family. In one place. Of course, hell's way over there. That's that place. The eternal lake of fire. All the people that have been born in the world will be resurrected. They'll either go some with God and some to this file 13 here to get them out of the way. Put away. All right? You have any questions in this so far? We went from 1, let's see, 17 to 13. 17, 13 through 22. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Why is it called the high priestly prayer?
Well, Jesus was not literally a Levite, was he? Okay. Who was Melchizedek in the Old Testament? Abraham knew him. Where did he live?
Salem.
Where was Salem?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. He lived in Jerusalem. Abraham went out and he rescued Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities. Did you know that? Abraham rescued those cities because they hauled off these princes that came against them. They hauled off Lot. And Lot was a saved man. So God sent Abraham to go get them. And in getting Lot, he saved all of them. And he would come back and he had all this booty. And he went by the city of Jerusalem. And out came Melchizedek. Melchizedek means what? Melech. Means what? King of what? Kadesh. Of righteousness. King of righteousness. Which was a type of what? Of Christ. Some people think it may have been a pre-incarnate Christ. I don't know about that. The book of Hebrews says that he was without what? Without record of mother or father. Like he was eternal. And he was a high priest, wasn't he? Jesus came after not the Levite high priest, but the order of what? Melchizedek. So he was our high priest. That's where he is our high priest. He's our prophet. He's our priest and our king. He filled three things. He was a prophet because of the prophecies. All the prophets in the Old Testament pointed us to him. And he was our priest because right here he's praying that prayer. He's praying for us. We don't have to go to Mary. We don't go to some jinn or some evil spirit like they have in the Muslim world. We don't pray to saints. They aren't going to do any good. There's only one man between man and God, and that's who? Jesus Christ. You don't pray to anybody but Jesus. You pray in Jesus' name. We call on the Father, but by what authority do we call on the Father? Jesus. They didn't pay much attention to the Father in the Old Testament. They just talked about God. Elohim. Jehovah. Ha-Adonim. Adonim, Ha-Adonim. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That, by the way, Jesus fulfilled all of that. They talked about a father of Israel, all right, but they didn't have a real close relationship with him. We do now because of Jesus. We have a close relationship with the Father. We can call, we can go directly to the Father in Jesus' name. We can pray to Jesus. Ever help Jesus to help you sometime? Because why? Because he's been this route before. He walked in your footsteps. He's been all the places you've been. When I was out there in those cotton fields, when I fell down that outhouse, he knows all about all that kind of stuff. All the heat and all the cold and all the thirst and hunger that we have had. I tell you what, I've been hungry in my life. Been hungry. I was working for Cannon Oil Well Service out in Devil's Den one time. They took me out there, and I was out there for over 2 weeks. They told me not to bring my car. They told me I didn't need anything. Didn't bring any food because I had it all out there. Have you ever been shanghaied? Huh? You ever been shanghaied? Well, I was. I was shanghaied. I might as well have been put on some ship out in the middle of the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. I went out there all right, and they dumped me off. The guy wouldn't even go to the drilling rig or to the production rig. He dropped me off over there. He said, there's the rig. Here's the papers. See you later. I brought with me a bunch of food because I've been hungry in my life. I brought all this food, and I walked down there to the deal, and when we came back that night, you know what we had to eat? Rancid water and powdered milk and cornflakes. That was all the food we had. That was it. Sleeping in a little old dump of a trailer. We got living quarters for you, everything, all piled up in one bed almost. No bathroom facilities, no water, all that stuff that you drain off that's what we had, this old green-looking water to take a bath in and diesel. For 2 weeks, we finally ended up stealing the car. It was my idea. You know, my dad was a car thief, you know. We went down and got us a Corvair. And I got it running because I could fix the car. And we stole some gasoline and put in it because we were going back to civilization. We'd had all of that we needed. I said, let's get out of here. And we didn't have much. I had a little bit of money. I didn't have any place to spend it. We went down to Avondale, and we got enough gasoline in that car and some food to eat. Boy, I was hungry. You know, I had my lunch basket full of cheese and dry salami and all that stuff. It didn't last 5 minutes when I got back. I had enough in there for me for 3 days. It was all gone. Those people were starving to death. Jesus knows what hungry is. I do, too. I know what living in non-livable conditions is and the heat of the summer in Bakersfield with no heater, no cooler, nothing. Jesus has been down that route. He knows what we suffer. He knows how we feel. He knows. Out there in that 40 days out there in the desert without anything to eat or drink, either one. I never went 40 days without eating or drinking. But I tell you what, I went over 2 weeks without eating anything he didn't fit to eat. For 2 weeks. I couldn't tell them old boys not to eat all my lunch because they were starving. Yeah, he knows. He knows how we feel. All right. Any questions before we go? Go out and do something eternal. Let's have a word of prayer and go out there and sick them. Brother Roger, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother? We'll start on 23 next week. We're almost finished with this book, you know.
Father, thank you for bringing us here one more time
letting us hear your word, letting us be encouraged by what you set up in the beginning to reclaim us. I thank you for that. Thank you so much. Guide us and direct us, and as we leave here, let us ponder your word and apply it in our lives. In your name I pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.